Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
Coming to you every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. I am Kevin Cameron, and in the studio with us today, my co-host, Bill Neal, that held everything down last week. Bill, what's going on, man?
All things are good, and man, I can't wait. I can't wait. I love it when it's like this. Showtime at the Apollo, man. But glad to also welcome to the show tonight former high school great, college great, European professional basketball player Warren Wilson joining us. I figured if we're going
to... He's been on the show before,
he's
too,
been here
right?
before, but like you, he's been wrong in most of the things he said, but we invite him back anyway. But look, I figure if we're going to talk about basketball, we might as well get a guy here that knows a little bit about it. So I tell you this, for all the stuff Warren don't know, he knows a ton about basketball. So we got the right guy at the right time.
You're starting off on the wrong foot. Let me just say that. You said he's wrong like I am, something to that extent.
That's not important, man. Move the show along, man.
You know, I just couldn't let you slide that by.
I wanted to welcome you back. You was away last week. Yeah. I want you to feel wanted.
Okay. In your own way.
that's all right.
That's all right, because we have a lot to talk about today, so I'm sure you'll be wrong a number of times. First of all, let me start the show off. We normally don't start the show off talking about hockey, okay, but I want to just mention hockey. We're not going to talk about hockey for too long, but congratulations to the St. Louis Blues with their victory over the Boston Bruins to become the 2018-2019 Stanley Cup champions. And that's important, Bill, because I told you before, Boston is the city of champions, and I did not want them to win another championship. So,
I'm sorry.
Aren't you happy that St. Louis won?
I just dozed off a second. It's been a long day. No, look, for real.
Yeah.
For real, it is important. And it should be noted, it's the first time in St. Louis history, in the history of their franchise, that they won the Cup.
Something like 40 years, right?
And listen, here's the other thing about hockey that really needs to be understood, especially for those of us of the other persuasion. Okay, that means black people.
Okay, I'm glad you broke it down.
For those out there who are a little confused for a moment. Look, I always said this, and many people agree, the greatest athletes on the planet are basketball players, and I'm sure Warren agrees, to have to run forward, backward, sideways, jump up, fall, come down, dribble, pass, shoot, and all the other things required in an instant to have to do all those things in an instant with a cardio system that allows you to do what 98% of the people on the planet can't do is remarkable. But hockey players are right there. Hockey players are phenomenal athletes. To have to skate on a sheet of metal about the width of a pen, an ink pen, and forward, backward, sideways,
it requires a lot of skill.
And they deserve toughness. They deserve, you know, some of those guys get hit with life changing hits from the puck or a stick. You know, it ain't like. And let me just say this, man. I know we're gonna get to it.
And we don't want to get too deep because we need to get into the NBA and some other things.
And the Stanley Cup is one of the most revered championships and one of the most revered trophies in the history of sports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully all the good stuff I said will get some white folks to listen to our show.
I hope so.
Because they know that we go both. We
don't discriminate.
Exactly.
So we need as many listeners as possible, and – you know, hopefully we're talking about what's going on that's relevant in sport. But hockey, if I can just ask a question to everyone in here, our esteemed producers here as well, Trevin A. Jones. But what do you guys think, the tougher sport, football or hockey?
Football, without question.
Football?
I don't think you could just say say it just like that.
He said it real quick.
I did it.
He said it real quick.
I did.
It was actually too quick.
Okay.
Well, let me ask a question on your question. I ain't got to ask Trev because he's a football player like I am.
Okay.
And I ain't trying to be funny. Did you play? I know you played baseball and basketball. Did you play football?
I did play football.
Okay. So the only person in here, they never put on a football uniform is Warren, I'm sure.
Oh, that was cold.
No, I'm just saying, am I wrong?
I mean, I played football when I was a young, you know, lad.
Okay, so like I said, the only person in here.
And don't forget, I went to Penn Hill, sir, and I practiced with
the 95
state champions.
But did you put on a uniform?
Okay, fellas. Hey, Warren, stop filibustering, okay, man.
Did you put on a uniform?
And answer the question. The toughest sport. Man.
I was scared. Oh, okay. The tougher sport, I'm going to have to go with hockey, man.
You're going with hockey?
I'm going with
hockey. Trev, what do you think?
Well, that was my –
football.
Yeah.
Football?
Well, that was my point, and I wasn't trying to be facetious. Mm-hmm. If you haven't played the game,
yeah,
and if you've never been hit in football, you don't understand the kind of pain that gets delivered. And here's the primary difference to your relevant question.
Okay.
The primary difference is in hockey, the hitting is not as continuous as football.
Right.
Football – pain and punishment is consistent and continuous for 60 minutes, obviously depending on what side of the ball you're on.
For most players.
Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, running backs, you're getting hit virtually on every play. Mm-hmm. And every play is a career-ending play. Yeah. But hockey's tough.
But think about this, Bill. You might have a 6'6", 300-pound or 330-pound lineman coming downhill to hit you in football.
Exactly.
But now, just imagine someone maybe not as big but not too far away on skates.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Coming down to hit you. And not only coming down to hit you, Bill, but coming down to hit you off of a board. Right?
It's off of a board. It's serious. I ain't going to take it away from him.
Yeah, but I agree with you. We don't agree a whole lot, but I'll say football. But the reason that I posed the question too, normally in hockey, they play a number of games per week. There's nothing for them to play three games a week. In football, you have only one game a week. You might have two games if you have a Thursday night game, but that's only one time a year.
And that's because that's all the human body can handle in that game.
But it makes you wonder, for those individuals that actually agree that hockey is tougher than football, I would ask the question, well, why can't football teams play more than one game a week? I don't want to give the NFL any ideals or anything. I know they're trying to go from 16 to 18 games, which I disagree with. But it really makes you wonder.
Well, okay. How many games are in the hockey season?
82. 82 games, just like basketball.
Oh, man, come on. Y'all trying to tell me it's football.
But listen, Well,
why can't football do it? If they're playing that many games, why can't football play that many games?
I'm telling you why, because the recovery time is greater. And you'll hear football players will tell you they need the next week to get ready for the next game. I mean, the punishment.
That's true.
I mean, it's just a different kind of punishment.
Right.
And look, and I was nowhere near the elite players, but I can tell you this, in October of 1970 at Penn Hills versus Highlands homecoming game, I can still feel the knee that was leveled into my head by Bill Chatta, who was a 6'8", 240-pound defensive end who went to play football at Michigan State. I can still feel the pain. That's the kind of pain football delivers you that you don't forget it.
Yeah, and you're not even kidding.
I just recounted
if you think
for you.
About things.
I just couldn't give you the date, but I can give you everything else. So
the action that occurred.
Yeah, man.
All right, so we're gonna transition real quick. NBA basketball. Go ahead, Warren.
We didn't talk about taking the gloves off, taking the helmets off, and you know, and going mano a mano on the ice, punching in the face and all that. We can't forget about that. We're not just talking about hitting from behind and all that. What about the
actual scrapping that's permitted for about 90 seconds? That's a sore spot for me, Warren. You didn't have to bring it up. That's a sore spot for me. Now I think you're starting to get racial and cultural and all that stuff there, because we all know that baseball players fight. We all know that hockey players fight, and it's acceptable in hockey. right? It's part of the game.
Now, be careful. Don't lose the few white people we just picked up at the beginning of the show now.
I'm just keeping it real. All right. In football, you can't fight. You know, they'll suspend you. In basketball, you can't fight. They'll suspend you. I mean, in baseball, they started to do it. But in hockey, it's part of the game. And it's kind of a sore spot. So we won't go there.
Okay. All right.
We won't go there. But it is a factor. All right.
At least it's debatable. At least it's debatable. That's a debatable question.
Yeah. In hockey, if you're a punk, it'll show up real quick.
Real quick.
It'll show up real quick. So in a way, I wish I kind of play hockey. So I could take advantage of that rule.
and keep this in mind. When the gloves come off, and this is true in hockey and very true in baseball, when the gloves come off, they ain't really getting down. I mean, it's a couple blows, but you know, the teammates get there, they circle the wagons. That's all. That ain't really. Back in the day, hockey, they used to go to blows.
Since we went there. What if it were allowed in football? Could you imagine a James Harrison taking his helmet off and say, let's go?
Yeah, that's true. You got a point there.
Could you imagine a Burfitt that played for Cincinnati taking his helmet off and say, let's go? And I can go down the line. Ray Lewis and others as well. Joe Green's day.
Joe Green
didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
You know, that's when you were slapping people upside the head.
Well, you're actually starting to persuade me back to football on that argument right there, because I can't even imagine a guy like Harrison actually being able to throw you in the ground. Yeah. So
Okay. So we won you over. All right. So let's talk NBA basketball. Who knew it?
One more thing, Kip, because your point is even further well taken. It also speaks to why a football player's average years is 4 years.
Right.
That's how brutal that sport is. Average football player's years is five years.
I wouldn't try to support that with that comment there. I think it's more of how difficult it is to play football, the skills that you need.
A combination of the sort. Yeah. But you know, you got running backs who play the game very well who can't make it 5 years because of the brutality of the game.
Because they can't maintain their skill at that level
because of the punishment.
For that long.
Yeah, because of the punishment. Yeah.
That's true.
All right, so like I say, who knew, fellas? Toronto closed down Oracle Arena. I mean, they are the champions, right? We need to talk about Kevin Durant, the injury that he sustained. And, Warren, I'm glad you're here because I'm not sure if you ever dealt with a calf strain or a Achilles or anything like that. And let me just throw it over to you and let me ask you, was it fair for the Golden State Warriors to put Kevin Durant out on the floor in game 5? And given that they're going into since they went into game 6, that was, I thought, critical that he played, because the way they started that game 5 off and the way he was able to dominate helped them win game 5 and allowed them to have a game 6. But let's talk about the injury and if it were fair for Golden State to put him on the floor.
Well, as far as I know, they didn't ask him. It was something that he requested. So when you talk about a player having a choice to play, and then on top of that, Golden State possibly or potentially understanding that he may not be returning next year, they're not going to give him too much of a backlash or a restriction to say, you know what, you know, you need to stay off the court because, you know, we need you for next year. They weren't thinking like that. They pretty much knew that he was going to demand to be traded after this year, and they figured, we don't want you to go, but if you insist, I mean, it can only help us in the long run, since we're not going to have you after this series. Potentially, rumored. So I say they weren't wrong, because it was something that he requested. Now, if they asked him to go, then yes, they are wrong. But if he said, I want to go, and from what I've seen on YouTube, from the videos from ESPN and things, he was adamant about playing. So I feel like you need to let the man do what he would like to do. It's different from Kawhi when Kawhi didn't want to play and San Antonio wanted him to play.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to play, and so they just gave him what he wished for. So I can't necessarily be too mad at the organization for
that. And you mentioned Kawhi. Kawhi played injured during these playoffs as well.
Yes, he
has. And
a
lot of people tend to forget about that, mm-hmm. given this situation as well. Bill?
Well, I'm from the old school. If you're hurt, get out the way. Next man up. As Warren alluded to, and as Kevin Durant expressed very clearly following his Achilles tendon surgery, he made the decision to go back and play. Nobody forced him to play. He made the decision to want to play. As his mother echoed, Kevin decided he wanted to play. Not that mom had an absolute in the matter, but Kevin Durant wanted to play. And that's what you do, man. If you're an athlete, it's not in you to not want to play. Not generally, not most often. It's in you to do whatever it takes to get back on the court, to get back on the field. It's in you as an athlete probably since fourth grade that you do whatever it takes. Now, I'm not here to say it's always the best decision, but everybody at this table knows there's no quit in you. You've never had that in you. You've been hit, knocked down, kicked, punched, all them things, and the first thing in your mind was get up. You know, like Rocky said, it ain't how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up and keep moving forward. And that's how we're conditioned in this society. That's how you're conditioned as an athlete. And imagine this. If Durant doesn't re-injure, think of the history that he lives with if they win that game.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that heroes are made of, man. They'll be talking about Kevin Durant for the next 100 years. Get up off, just like they talk about the white came off out of the hospital with a 103-degree temperature to play in the Super Bowl. That kind of stuff is never forgotten. I don't blame you for coming back. Just bad luck.
There's so many examples where the players took that risk because they were on the biggest stage possible for their individual sport. You mentioned one of them, and another one, who was it, Jack Youngblood, in the Super Bowl with a broken leg. Okay, what about Tiger Woods playing in the different majors on a severely damaged knee? So I can go on and on and on, but we need to talk about this a little bit more on the other side in segment two.
Welcome to the world of alternative healing and wellness. The Natural Healing and Wellness Center, located at 2336 East Carson Street on the South Side, bringing effective and alternative solutions to inspire hope and restore happiness and health to the Pittsburgh community. The Natural Healing and Wellness Center is a pet-friendly and warm, welcoming establishment that specializes in natural healing and wellness services. The Natural Healing and Wellness Center sells Wonder Lab natural vitamins and Green Roads CBD products to those who are looking for more effective alternative solutions for chronic pain. Log on to our website, naturalhealing-wellness.com, or call 412-904-1399. Now open the Natural Healing and Wellness Center, 2336 East Carson Street on the south side of Pittsburgh. Call 412-904-1399. That's 412-904-1399.
Sold. Take. The champions live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
All right, we need to talk about NBA about the NBA championship. I'm still in shock. Who would have thought, fellas? Who would have thought? Golden State going down in six games. Not only did they go down in six games, they let Toronto close the Oracle Arena, and they won all three games of the NBA championship.
Well, I wouldn't have,
Golden State.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it.
Or in Oakland.
As you know, I had Golden State winning it all, and I certainly had them coming back And, you know, it's an unpredictable science, to be sure. And, you know, for all the fighting back that they did, that, you know, we talk about Durant. Let's not forget about Klay Thompson's injury. Let's not forget about Curry struggling on with injuries throughout the course of the playoffs. But they rose up to win a game that they clearly should have lost after the final breakdown of Durant. And I thought they were on the road to setting history in place. So it is what it is.
And you're talking about a first-time head coach, right?
Right.
Winning a NBA championship. So that's pretty amazing, too. So you have to give it to my man. I forget his name.
Nick Nurse.
Well, he's assistant for
I think he gets a promotion. He's Nick Doctor now, don't you think?
Well, he kind of did what Steve Kerr did when he was with Mark Jackson. He was under with the coach that just left Toronto.
I know who you're talking about. I can't call his
name.
Went to Detroit. Yeah. Went to Detroit.
Yeah. So he was under him for a number of years. So, you know, he kind of basically was doing the same thing. And, you know, they let him go. He's in Detroit, but he just picked up where he left off. So it's not, I mean, he's technically his first time head coach, but, you know, he was calling shots.
Dwayne Casey.
He was calling shots with Dwayne Casey.
And at whatever point he became a head coach, don't none of this happen without Leonard.
But I was going to say, Dwayne Casey didn't have the reason.
Don't get me wrong. Toronto's got some very good players, and they've got great role players. And none of those guys were guys you thought were going to be NBA champions at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But as a team, they play especially well, especially as a passing team. They're very unselfish. But when you add Kawhi Leonard to that team concept with the attitude he has, and people underestimate how good this guy is. I said weeks ago, he's the closest thing to Michael Jordan in the game today. When Kobe was here, he was. But this guy is as close to Michael Jordan as you can get in terms of confidence, dominance, strength, and the ability to score the basketball. People underestimate him.
So let me ask you fellas this. I'm going to throw four reasons why the Toronto Raptors were able to win the NBA championship.
Go ahead.
And I would like to go around the table and see which one was most important.
Okay.
Was it Dwayne Casey not being there?
Definitely not.
Was it? Hold on. Let me finish my list. Was it Nick Nurse being there? Was it Kawhi Leonard being there? Or was it LeBron James not being there? See, because people don't talk about the LeBron James impact. If LeBron would have stayed in Cleveland, because keep in mind, the reason Toronto wasn't able to go to an NBA Finals previously, because LeBron James was there. Just like a lot of people in the NFL, more especially the Pittsburgh Steelers, would say, we could have been to more Super Bowls if it weren't for the New England Patriots. So given those four individuals,
well,
what do you think?
I'll offer this. I'll give you the one. The first thing, as my grandfather would always say, when you talk about them ifs, if my aunt had hairy legs, she would have been my uncle. So that's what you do with them ifs.
These days, Bill, you don't even have to say that, man. Yeah.
Well, I'm just
she might be your uncle anyway.
I'm just saying. And then the second thing is this. It's Kawhi Leonard, man. I'm telling you, that Kawhi Leonard is an absolute superstar, super talent that gets underrated because of his demeanor and his quiet approach. And now we've learned that it's all on purpose. He is the person he is. He's not an introvert, and he's not shy and any of that. He is the person he is on purpose. He's a quiet, thinking person.
And you mentioned before, Bill, to your credit, that you thought he was the closest thing to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. And defensively, I think it's clearly evident. And remember, people, defense isn't only defending the man in front of you. Defense is all the things you do while the opposition has the ball. Switching.
Preach.
Helping out. rebounding the ball, blocking shots, steals. That's all deflections. Part of being defense.
Yeah.
So people think, well, defense, how great is he because he stopped Klay Thompson? No. How many steals did he get? How many block shots? How many things did he change because
his
of his presence?
You're right. Presence.
And I would like to throw out, too, about Kawhi, which I thought he got a bad rap in game five, right, because he didn't take the last shot. He passed, and he was criticized for passing the ball. Yeah. But how many times did Michael Jordan pass the ball, kick out to the three-point line for Steve Kerr or Paxson, and they knocked the ball down?
Absolutely.
So that's just being a smart player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
Warren, what do you think?
I think he should have passed it, especially when you got two on you, you know. And then he's going to learn from that, too, as well. He's going to watch the film. He's going to see what they can do better, and the coach is going to help him out. So my order was I'll go 4-1. Dwayne Casey was the least. His absence was the least.
Okay.
Then number three was LeBron.
Okay. Wow.
LeBron number three. Nick Nurse. He's done an amazing job as far as getting past Milwaukee.
So you put Nick Nurse ahead of
LeBron
over Dwayne Casey.
Yeah. I think he made a little hiccup the other day, or when they called
timeout.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but that's a learning situation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a new coach move.
It was.
You know, cost him the momentum, cost him everything. So he'll learn from that. But the job he's done to get to where they've gotten so far, where no one really thought they were going to get that far, except for my brother, because he's the ultimate Kawhi Leonard fan. He's been with him for the last 10 years, or since he's been in the league. I'm sorry. Number one, Kawhi. Kawhi is a major difference.
Both of you say Kawhi.
Is the major difference.
Trev, what you think, man?
I got to say Kawhi because what Bill was saying and what Warren is saying, number one, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry couldn't deal with LeBron James. So that was the LeBron James factor. But I think that the Toronto Raptors could have made it in the playoffs past Cleveland had Kawhi been on the Raptors even against LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, when Kawhi was in San Antonio, he D'd up LeBron James better than anybody else in the league.
Agreed.
So I think that Kawhi definitely is the major, major factor. Because had Kawhi been with Dwayne Casey last year, I think the Raptors could have been in the playoffs and made it to the finals last year. I think they could have beaten, the year before last, mm-hmm. they could have beaten a Cleveland Cavaliers team, because remember, Cleveland was kind of in turmoil. They didn't really have their identity, even though they made it. I mean, Kyrie and LeBron came through big time, but Kawhi Leonard would have been a major change in that type of series.
So, Trev, are you saying that Kawhi Leonard is better
than Kevin Durant?
No. I'm not asking that.
Okay.
Better than LeBron James.
Kawhi Leonard? No. What I'm saying is, just like Michael Jordan, remember, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me, gentlemen, they used to call Michael Jordan, like, they would say he was like a glove on defense because he didn't have that nickname, but he was like the glove on defense, because the best player on the court, Michael Jordan would D him up even if that wasn't his man at the start of the game. That's Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard can D up anybody on that court. I say anybody on the court at any given time. That's how much respect I have for Kawhi Leonard, especially after what he just did in this postseason.
And that's echoed primarily because, to your point, there are no longer many, if any, great centers in the game. So
correct.
He can D up all these bums that are centers in the game now, because all the centers in the game now are just second. There's no – correct me if I'm wrong because I may be missing somebody. There's not a center in the game today. There's not a center in the game today that's not a bench player 10 years ago.
Ooh, put him on the bench 10 years ago?
What name a center today in the game today, this year, that could challenge any of the great centers in the history of the game?
No, I don't see that.
In other words, every center in the – and I'm not begrudging them. I'm simply saying every center in the game today, like who's the center of the Raptors, the name? The Raptors center.
Ibaka?
No, the Raptors center.
The Raptors center?
The guy that plays center for the Raptors now. Is the Lakers former center's brother?
Oh, Gasol.
Gasol. All right. He's a bum.
I wouldn't call him a bum.
He's a bum. Now listen to me.
No.
Comparably now, listen to me. Comparably, he's a bum. And he's a good player today because there's limited quality centers in the game today. But you take him back 10 years against the likes of Ewing and Olajuwon and them cats. He's a bum. He'd never get off the bench.
Well, that's present day Gasol, and I'm mad. I said Ibaka first, but that's present day. Gasol was a beast about 6 years ago.
He was a beast.
You think
plus.
So?
He was never.
I'm not sure about that, Bill.
No,
I'm
not.
You know why? Because here's the deal.
He was
deal.
Better than his brother.
Than Powell? He was better than Powell?
6 years ago?
No.
I don't think so.
Here's the deal.
He was never better than Powell. What game were y'all watching?
He can't do as many rings as Powell got.
That's four? Play with Kobe.
Well,
okay,
then.
Let's go back to the center thing real quick before I give my main person with the question that I asked. Bill, who's more well-rounded, centers of today or centers of the past that you're referring to?
The past.
More well-rounded?
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
Well, let me...
Because...
You got a more well-rounded player than Hakeem Olajuwon?
I'm not just talking about Hakeem. Even Hakeem, yes. Hakeem didn't have a three... Hakeem didn't have a three-point shot.
There may not be...
They wouldn't let them shoot three.
Right, that's my whole point. The game was different. Even Ewing. Ewing wasn't going to shoot a three-pointer.
Yeah, but how many centers are shooting threes a day in a percentage
Ewing wouldn't handle the ball the way centers
how
are handling
centers
the ball.
How many centers a day are shooting threes at a percentage that matters? One or two threes a game don't make you a three-point center.
I'm saying they're more well-rounded today than what they were
well
20 years ago.
Let's go if we're talking about verbiage. Well-rounded or more talented. Now listen, I'll give
like,
you well-rounded.
Like the Greek Freak in Milwaukee, Patrick Ewing doesn't compare to him as far as his skill level, as far as how well-rounded
he
is. Like,
you know where his skill level's
forward.
At? In transit.
Giannis would have been a forward.
In transition,
well, what
exactly.
is he today? But what is he today?
He's a center, but he's
okay,
I mean,
well,
but,
we're comparing
but
centers today versus centers 20 years ago.
His skill set is in transition.
But that's a different
argument. I'm talking
argument.
About centers who played in the paint, and he would not be that same person. His skill set and his
Giannis,
freak comes in transition.
Okay, so Giannis, he goes up against Ewing. He takes Ewing away from the basket. Ewing wouldn't be able
Shaquille
to handle
Shaquille O'Neal, Olajuwon,
I'm sorry.
Ewing, Paul Gasol, Shaq. Come on, man. Those guys would kill these guys today.
But you guys are arguing different types of games.
Well, we've had
that's
that
what I said. That's what I said. But let's move on. Let's move on. Let me say this with the question that I asked as far as who was more important with Toronto winning the NBA championship. And as I sat here and I asked a question, and you all can mark this down, but it's being recorded anyway, okay? Because when I have arguments or discussions, I listen, okay? And if it makes sense for me to change my mind, I change my mind.
Well, Lord knows,
okay?
that's not a given. But
and,
go ahead,
and
man.
I
What's
changed my mind because when I asked the question, I was thinking LeBron James, okay? But you all said Kawhi Leonard, and I listened to your points. And you made a lot of valid points.
Thank
so you.
You
all won me over.
Thank you, Professor Xavier.
You all won me over.
Thank
so
you, Professor Xavier.
Kawhi Leonard was the main reason that Toronto Raptors won their first NBA championship.
And for the record, speaking of Professor Xavier, mm-hmm. Dark Phoenix was a bust. Just want to put that out.
Okay. Real quick, because we got to end this segment.
Hey,
we
Avengers Endgame was a bust.
We got to end
put
this.
It all out
we got to end this segment. Does I'll go Bill, Warren, and Trev. Kawhi Leonard, does he stay?
You know what?
He better because they.
Well, won. let's go around, Bill.
My guess is, and I could care less either way. He's leaving.
Okay.
He's leaving at
you
the
don't
height
win
of
and
it
leave.
All.
You don't win.
He wants him to go to
at the height of it all because
to the Lakers.
He wants to go where he wants to be. He wants to be in L.A. with the Clippers. And I think he's
with
leaving.
The Clippers. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to L.A. No, not to the
Lakers.
Lakers
are looking at Anthony Davis anyway.
But I believe Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving are going to the Lakers, and my Lakers will wreak havoc on the NBA next year.
Warren?
You don't win and leave. You just don't do that. I mean, as much as respect as I
have
for
Does LeBron James come to mind when you say that?
Well,
they lost
didn't leave,
first.
He didn't leave right after a championship.
Right, but he left.
Yeah. I mean, this was –
Kawhi left.
What do you mean?
He left
after
LeBron.
They won the championship.
He went to Boston.
Mm-hmm. He went to Boston.
Oh, you mean Kyrie.
You mean Kyrie?
Oh, yeah, Kyrie. Yeah. Oh, okay. Kyrie. Kyrie. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
We got to get another basketball so we get co-host. Because no, I'm just saying, our basketball co-host is
he said Kawhi.
I got the names mixed up, man. I get a pass on that one.
That's like Hail Mary, Tamika. That's the same name I was saying before.
You don't.
Trav, what you got, Trav? What you
think? Stay for the love of the game and for what it means to be a real.
So you're saying he stays?
Yes.
All right, Trav.
Yeah, he stays.
He stays
because it depends on how Toronto is treating him. If Toronto is treating him well and he brings a champ, he brought the championship to Canada. He stays because he won over the country. Like the country is now rooting for.
When you say treated well, you mean how much money they give him? That's what.
With Kawhi, remember Kawhi mentally had something going on with him in San Antonio because of the way he was being treated in San Antonio.
Well, I tell Kawhi, and it is Kawhi, get your hat and coat and leave.
What? You put him out and leave.
Why did you go through all? No, I'm saying, I think he'll leave.
And as Bootsy would say, L.A., California, he's going west.
City of Angels.
City of Angels. He's going west.
Hollywood.
There's going to be a party today. Listen, it's been a great season, a long season. But I had fun with it, man. And because I'm a Laker fan, I didn't really care who won. But I wanted Golden State to pull it off, but it wasn't to be. Toronto got their title.
L.A. Lakers, the mess in the West.
I'll see you next season, son.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
The champ is here. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Soul Tape, Champions Live, coming to you every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. I am Kevin Cameron in the studio. My co-host, Bill Neal, our special guest, Warren Wilson, and our esteemed producer, Trevin A. Jones. Go ahead and pick it up, Bill. I'm not sure exactly where we ended things.
Well, what I guess I'm just thank goodness you got a son and daughter that can direct you to good music because you ought to chart with the music.
Is that right, man? Hey, thank you, man. I might have to get Trav and Kiki to give me a special segment up in here doing some mixing, man.
Don't get crazy. Well, here's something I have to do, and as I did when we had Myron Brown on the show, I want to take a moment of clarity and do this. I want to make sure that our listeners understand. Warren Wilson is our special guest today talking basketball, but people need to be mindful. This is one of the elite basketball players in the history of this city. This is a young man who excelled at every level.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
Some of the greatest players in the nation played. Warren Wilson was among the elite players there and vied for a title. MVP and Hall of Famer. So I just wanted to make sure people understand this is not just some cat that
titles.
Happened.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, titles. I stand
you
corrected.
Still who?
Nah. That's why I asked.
You gave it up, man?
I asked him. You know what was did he mean greatest injury on court? Because I had a bicycle accident where I separated my shoulder, grade 3, and that kind of sidelined me for a little while. But we gonna come back. That ain't the last time I played.
Cool. Yeah. So you still intend to play?
Intend to play.
All right, that'll work,
word
man.
On that.
And if I could just add this, speaking of which, I just need to point out to all of our listeners, the 45th annual and consecutive Willie Stargell MVP awards are coming up Saturday, June 22nd, 12:00 at Sugar and Smoke Restaurant, and coming home to be inducted into the Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame, which is part of their ceremony, the great Billy Varner, the New Kensington Valley High School All-American, Notre Dame great, and European great, is coming home to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Petey Harris, the great Northeastern player that led the ranking gangster to three titles in the Connie Hawkins League, the only team to win three titles, is coming home. Myron Brown goes into the Hall of Fame this year. Derek the Mailman Gordon out of Peabody, who went on to play at Waynesburg. So we've got some great people being inducted, and none less than Sean Hawkins, the grandson of the great Connie Hawkins, is coming home from Detroit. So Saturday, June 22nd, Sugar and Smoke Restaurant in Bloomfield, 12 o'clock, Willie Stargell Awards honoring 10 of the community's top leaders and 10 Connie Hawkins League Hall of Fame inductions, man. It's going to be something special.
Did you tell everyone how to get tickets?
Well, people can get thanks. See, Kev, I knew if I stuck around you long enough,
you
would help a brother out. You want to get tickets to what is already a sold-out event, but I'll give it to you anyway. 412-628-4856. There's a few seats left. 412-628-4856. Call Achieving Greatness and be a part of this historic moment. Welcoming home Billy Varner, who is easily one of the 10 – well, he's one of the greatest, and it's always arguably, but he's one of the greatest players that ever come out of this region. But he's certainly one of the 10 most accomplished players, having played. He was the Michael Jordan of Belgium in the European League, literally. Okay. That was his comparison. As great as Michael was here, that's how great Billy Varner was there. And he came home on a request of the Houston Rockets during their glory days for a tryout and made the team, but turned down the contract offer because they wanted to offer him a year. Yeah. And he wanted a two-year no cut. And he said, hey, if I can't get a two-year no cut, I'll go back to being the great player I am in Belgium.
Okay, cool. And since we're talking about local stars and celebrities and everything else, we need to have a shout-out to Swin Cash, who just became the VP of basketball operations for New Orleans in the NBA. I'm not sure if you all caught that. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so congratulations.
She's doing it big time. She's doing it big time.
And has always been quality. She's always been qualities. When she was a player here, when she left here, she always came back and gave back. She's always been a quality A-plus person. Couldn't happen to a better person.
Eat, so, Bill, sleep, we need drink, to put, hoops. That's what she does.
We need to put her on our list to come into the studio, as well as you should honor her as well.
Well, we actually attempted to honor her on several occasions during her playing time, and we had a go between, and both times it failed, not because of lack of effort on everybody's part, but we'll try to get back to her.
All right, so I wanted to also let everyone know about Urban Media Today Talk Sports. You can catch that every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. as Urban Media Today Talks Sports. Get the latest in NFL, NBA, college, and more. Listen live via Live 365 TuneIn Radio and online at urbanmediatoday.com. My man, the producer, Trevin A. Jones, and his crew. I know that you all talk about everything I just said and really put it down there, Trev.
Always, man. We try to do it. Like, you all set the precedent, so we got to be better to get everybody started on a Saturday because they know they're wrapping up Saturday evening, getting ready for Sunday with you guys.
Yeah,
so,
and I need to be back on too, Trev. But
yeah, you're more than welcome anytime. Bill's welcome anytime. Yeah, Warren is welcome anytime.
But you got to have some coffee for me, man. No, man. When I come I need some coffee.
We get hyped on the natural energy.
I have to
energy.
Bring my own coffee in.
We all get right. hyped on the natural energy.
All right, so... Hey, we need to talk about some NFL and something that I didn't put down on the agenda for today. But we need to talk about this pass interference situation.
But do you want to talk about that before your boy gave up 5 home runs in the same game? Is that what I understand?
Archer.
5 home runs in one game, 4 in one inning. We'll come back to that.
Just so hard for him to put together a complete game. You but think? he had 2 good games before that.
Please.
The NFL, with this pass interference rule that they're changing, to me, they're all over the board. I'm not sure if they know exactly what they're doing. So the situation here, they're saying within the last 2 minutes of any half, okay, first half, second half, or overtime, that it will be up to the replay booth to make a decision on pass interferences versus the coaches needing to challenge And then you have the Hail Mary that came up as well, because they say, well, we all know when it's a Hail Mary, all kind of things happen, right? On the Hail Mary, you could probably call pass interference every time there's a Hail Mary. But right now, as we sit and talk today, the teams have a week, from what I understand, to respond to the current proposed rule, which is what I just got done explaining.
Well, how come the Hail Mary? Like, why can't it be the Hail Tamika?
or you're not very religious, are you, Bill?
No, I'm just saying, why is it got to be Mary? Like, can it be?
It's Mary J. Blige, man.
Why can't it be? See, Trev feels me. Can it be Hail Sonya? I mean, why got to be Mary?
Mary is the saint, Bill. I understand, come on, man.
I'll be asking questions, man.
I need to take you to church tomorrow.
No,
man.
I understand the church.
I'm not Catholic, but
I understand how the church thing works. Okay. That ain't the point.
Well,
the
you shouldn't ask that question, man.
No, the point is that it would have to be Mary.
You're getting all our Catholic people that listen to the show upset.
We lost the last three white people.
You all just took it in a totally different direction.
There's black Catholics too, Bill. There's black Catholics
asking
as well.
All right, I'm sorry. I asked a question.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, this. Kev, isn't that too much? Like, the NFL is just doing too much. Bill, the NFL is doing too much. Yeah. Remember back in the day? Okay, so Jack Tatum could never have played right now, is what you're telling me. True. Okay? Because when you had cats like that who are Hall of Famers now and who are looked up to and inspired, people are trying to be like them, you've changed the rules so much that you can never have another player like that.
And here's what they should do, to your point. Quit trying to change the rule. Admit that you made a horrific mistake and you're trying to make New Orleans feel better, even at this far after the event. Just admit it. You made a mistake and get the call right. It ain't got to be no new rules. You missed the call, and all they're trying to do is appease the Saints.
Well, I do think that they need to change the rule. Okay?
So explain to us what the change is.
If it were up to me, the change would be you could challenge anything.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree with you.
You already have a number of challenges. You could challenge anything.
Within the amount of challenges you
that
have.
You have.
Exactly.
Okay. I agree with that.
I agree with that.
I agree with that. So your point is, why is this challengeable and that's not?
Right. And then I'm going to share with you all, and you know, remember, people, you heard it here first. All right. You heard it here. And I actually thought about writing the NFL on this one. Okay. Now, they've been thinking about this overtime rule as well, right? And they decided to leave the overtime rule alone.
If they need to change something, it's that.
Okay.
It's the dumbest rule in
sports. You know what I would do? I would use the tennis model, okay? I would use the tennis model, and Trev, I wish we were on Facebook Live right now for the expression on your face. But you know how you get all tied up in tennis, okay, 40-40 in tennis. Right,
right. You had to add in.
And the next point, what do you have? Advantage Williams, mm-hmm. right? Serena mm-hmm. Williams. And then it's possible that it could be tied again, and then maybe the advantage goes to the opponent. So to make a long story short, what I would like to see the NFL do is use the advantage system and never have overtime again. And the way you do it at the beginning of the game, whoever scores first has the advantage. So if you score a touchdown, you have the advantage. In case there's a tie at the end of the game, you win the game. However, if the other team comes back, score a touchdown, it's tied. And you keep that rotation until you win that advantage. So in other words, if you score a touchdown and the other team, the first time they get the ball, score.
Stop talking.
They have the advantage.
Stop talking. No, really.
That's your. No.
Listen,
let me
look at all of our faces. Stop talking and do not write that to the NFL.
No.
I'm
Warren, what do you think about that?
I was alone with you until you said the first team that scored, and then I was just like, huh?
I mean, hold on. Just think about this. How great would that be? Because teams, hold on, people like scoring in every sport. So in the NFL, teams would do everything they could to try to score first and defend when the other team gets the ball.
Circumstances are so different in the beginning of the game and the end of the game. There's, I mean, that's just too hypothetical to determine the end of the game by depending on what might happen by a glitch or a mistake in the first game. But game's over, score's tied. First team to scores wins.
Okay.
If I score and you don't, you lose. Simple as that. I don't know why they overthink it.
Let me do one better.
It went on for 90 years in football. First team to scores win. Well, I'm sorry. But let me repeat.
Remember,
that.
Back in the day, you played the extra quarter. If it was still tied at the end of that extra quarter, then it's a tied ball game.
Right, exactly.
So I think they should just go back to the way it was.
I can live with that.
Well, I disagree with that. But
both teams should have a chance to score.
Go ahead.
There's not enough time in the day to talk about this.
Because the situation is they're supposed to be making the game safer, okay? An extra play, you're not making the game safer the longer the games go. So that's why I said if you have the advantage system, and it's the same thing in basketball. Keep in mind, hold tight, keep in mind, it used to be jump ball in college, right? Every time the ball got tied up, what did they do? It's the same thing. They use an arrow system. Okay, and that's the only thing I'm talking about in football as well.
But that was to speed up the game, not to make it safer.
Yeah, two things that go wrong with here.
Well, it's to solve the problem with the overtime rule, too, and it will add more interest in scoring because teams would always try to score first.
Two things to keep in mind here. Your idea is whack.
Okay. Well, some of the best ideas are whack.
And secondly, remember I told you this.
If I would have said 30 years ago or 40 years ago, let's sell water, you would have said it was whack.
But we're talking about you and that system you just created. And secondly is all blonde does not work on everybody. Now, that's the two things we leave to show.
All right. So Pittsburgh Steelers mini camp, they just wrapped up mini camp.
You've seen some of the blonde I'm talking about, right? You know I'm talking about like.
Yeah, I'm trying to move on, Bill. I'm trying to move on, man.
You'd be like three lights away and you see this blonde coming at you.
Okay. So the people listening, if you like my idea with the overtime rule, hit me up on Twitter.
One of his girls is blonde like that. All right.
So, Bill, what's your takeaway? Do you have any takeaways from the Steelers mini camp? It was mandatory mini camp this past week.
I'm going to tell you what I've been saying all along, and you guys are going to find this to be true. The Steelers, the buzzword should be redemption.
Okay.
The Steelers are motivated to prove to the world they didn't need the hysteria that went on last year. The cancer has been cut out. They're gone. You know, they say if you can't say something about somebody good, don't say nothing. They're gone. Good. And the focus has been reestablished. Egos have been put in check. Team is back in effect. It's now about this team winning a Super Bowl. And I said then and I say now, after the last debacle, the Steelers are back on focus as a team. They've got ample replacement. And I suggest that the mini camps, both the voluntary and involuntary that have gone on just recently, have shown that these guys, with these new young guys coming in, they're focused and they're back on track to where a team should be.
I agree, and I've heard from a number of people that the wide receiver group looks really good, so I'm very excited about this group, and time will tell. So there's 5 weeks before they head to Latrobe, July 25th, with the first practice open to the public, July 26th.
I mean, it's right around the corner.
That's an incredibly great day. I couldn't think of a better day. Because it's my birthday. But go ahead.
Well, we need to be thinking about having a presence up there, number one.
Right.
All of us. All of our players here. Let's do it. And it should be easily done.
I've never been.
We're running short on time. So before we hit up the Pirates real quick, I would like to say Tiger Woods is playing in the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. So he's going after his 82nd PGA Tour win, and he's also, which we all know, Sam Snead has the 82 wins there, and Jack Nicklaus, he's chasing. Jack has 18 majors, and Tiger, if he wins, would be major number 16. So let's see if he makes the cut. Hopefully he will. Let's see if what he'll be able to do Saturday and Sunday.
And real quick, Kev, you're talking about greatness with Tiger Woods. Back to NFL real quick.
The Tennessee Titans, they're retiring Steve Eric McNair's number and also Eddie George at the same time.
Right.
That's amazing.
I like that. Well deserved. Yeah, well deserved.
Yeah.
Hey, I just hope Ray Lewis doesn't show up. Yeah. But go ahead.
It's cold, man. It's just plain cold. I just wanted to offer this when we talk about the resurgence of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Something that doesn't get talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the loss of this guy, the loss of that guy, replacing this player, replacing that player, drafted this player. Can Ben get back to where he needs to be? Can Ben step up, cut down the interceptions, cut down the mistakes?
Yeah.
Can he be the leader that is needed?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't get talked about enough. There's enough blame to go around. But let's talk about the quarterback who's supposed to be.
Don't put a smile on Trev's face like that, man.
Because he's right.
Yeah.
He's
right. We'll have to talk about that later because we're running short on time. Our Pittsburgh Pirates, Bill, sinking like a rock, man. Sinking like a rock.
You say our Pittsburgh Pirates.
Our Pittsburgh Pirates. Like I still claim. Mm-hmm. I still always, man. But I'm just a straight shooter. If the team is terrible, they're terrible, and I've been saying that for years.
And now, do you offer that knowing that they've been injury riddled? And
I do offer
so
that.
Even with the injuries,
okay. I didn't expect a playoff team fully healthy. Okay, very solid pitching staff or starting pitching, reasonably good bullpen. Not enough offense, not enough good defense, even though I have to give it up to my man Josh Bell, who's just kicking butt, 19 home runs and leading Major League Baseball with 61 RBI. I believe he will be the Pittsburgh Pirates representative, well-deserved, for the All-Star game.
And as Richard Pryor would say, and he knocking the cover off the ball. So all hail to Josh Bell, for sure.
And I'm going to save it for next week, okay, with a little bit more information regarding Josh Bell and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And do we have a special guest coming in next week, Bill, or is that in 2 weeks?
Well, next week we'll keep our fingers crossed for the flight from L.A. to here. But Billy Varner's coming in from Vegas, and he should be our special guest. And we have our fingers crossed, and I'm putting it out there, the chief executive of Allegheny County should also be our guest because of the county connection to New Kensington.
Got
and
it.
The great athletic programs they've had where Billy Varner hails from. I'm hoping to have Billy Varner here and chief executive Rich Fitzgerald and one or two of the other Connie Hawkins greats that are being inducted in the Hall of Fame. It should be a great show next week. And when we go off, I want to explain the warrant. So what Kevin was saying is the team scores – another team scores, and
you know what? Forget about it.
Then you
everyone.
The NFL, and then you call.
We
your
need
aunt.
To get out of here.
Once you call your aunt.
So take Champions Live. Forget what Bill Neal is saying, but thanks for listening, and hopefully you'll listen again next week.
So take. The Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Brought to you by Cameron Professional Family of Businesses.